welcome. So glad you're here with us this morning. I am so excited about sharing the Word of God with you today. But before we do, I just want to take a moment and bring to your attention a couple announcements. I want to remind everybody of our Sunday barbecue, where it's on for this afternoon, 12 o'clock. Invite you to come on out to the church property. We have hot dogs, hamburgers, and sausage providing for you. And if you just want to bring a side, that would be wonderful to be able to share with others. Again, opportunities for us to gather together as we are still unable to meet in person at this time. And then also we're doing the same thing coming up July 4th, which is a Saturday this year. So if you want to come out to a picnic, a church picnic on July 4th, if you don't have any plans, same format. We've got the main dishes. If you want to bring a side, that would be wonderful. We'd love to see you. We'd love to hang out with you. And so that's why we're doing these. And then the other thing is I want to speak to the men. Pastor RJ is doing the men's feast. We've been doing this for several years now, and it's always a great turnout. It's going to be Friday, July 17th, from 6:30 to 8:30 here at the church property. And so, guys, if you want to come on out, we'd love to have you. It's $15 per person just to help cover some of the cost of either steak or fish or whatever you want for dinner. Pastor RJ will be contacting you with more information for more information on that. But we'd love to have you come on out. Again, that's Friday, July 17th, starting at 6:30. And that's it in the way of announcements. If you would open your Bible to Acts chapter 19, that's where we continue to find ourselves as we go through the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We're in Acts chapter 19. We're going to pick up in verse 11. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask Him to bless this time as we look into His Word and receive a message from Him. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your grace, for Your mercy, for Your love, and for Your Word. Lord, the Bible that tells us and reveals to us Your Son, Jesus Christ. It shows us the plan of salvation. And I pray, as we read the text this morning, that You would speak into our hearts and speak into our lives. Lord, we don't want to stay the same. We want to be molded and shaped and transformed into the likeness of Your Son, Jesus. And so help us, Lord. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Help us see what You want us to see. Help us to hear what You want us to hear. And may in the process, You be glorified. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 19, again, verse 11. I've entitled today's message, How Are You Known? How are you known? You see, it's inevitable that you're being known one way or another. And the question is, how do people see you? How are you known? Are you known as someone that's faithful? Are you known as someone that's a godly person? Are you known as someone that's a peacemaker or a troublemaker? See, people are watching your life. People are looking at you and seeing how you respond and how you react. And it's just, it's an amazing opportunity that God gives to us to represent Him to others. And so that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to represent Him to other people. So I ask you, are you representing your Savior to other people in the right way, in the right manner? How are you known? Do people know you as a faithful follower of Jesus Christ? Do people know you as someone that's loving and caring and gracious? Or are you the opposite of those things? Do people know you as someone that's angry all the time? Do some people see you as someone that's just always frustrated with life and always discouraged? I find it very interesting that believers in Jesus Christ, yes, life has trouble, but the Bible says very clearly, we've overcome the world. Troubles will come, but God is with us. And so no matter what may come in your life, we're to represent the Lord properly. Because when people see us, they should see Jesus. In fact, look at this verse in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35 says this, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also may love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." It's just amazing to me that Jesus says, people will know that you are my disciples by the way you love others. It's interesting that he doesn't say by the way you love God or by the way you love your Savior Jesus. It says by the way you love other people. See, because God loves everyone, and He shows His love by sending His Son. Jesus, to pay the price for our sin. And by us loving on other people, even difficult people, we are showing other people that we know who God is and that we are followers of His. So I ask you again, how well are you known by other people? By other people. See, that's what I see in Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 11. We want to jump right into it this morning. So look with me and read with me. Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 11, it says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the inerrant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches.' Also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?' Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed." How well are you known? How are you known in the sight of other people? I'm just always been amazed at the first two verses we read, verses 11 and 12, that God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Luke goes to the effort to show us that not only were miracles being done, but through Paul, it says here, unusual miracles were being done. Unusual miracles. Another translation says extraordinary miracles. Miracles that were just not your typical miracles. I mean, any miracle is extraordinary, right? Anytime God does a miracle in your life, it's something to pay attention to. It's something to be in awe of. But here the Apostle Paul in Ephesus, which in Ephesus is a very popular town with a lot of different people, a lot of different faiths, a lot of different things going on there. And this town needed help. This town definitely needed Jesus. And God poured out his spirit in a powerful way in Ephesus through Paul. In so much way that unusual miracles were done by his hands. I always look at this verse and I remind myself the key to this verse is that God worked the miracles. Not Paul. Not anybody else. It was God who worked the miracles through Paul. Paul was merely the vessel. Paul was merely the one that God would use. And so I ask you, are you known as someone that God can use? Are you known as a follower of Jesus that God is working in your life? Not someone that's doing miracles, not someone that's doing the sensational, but someone that is being used by the Lord, a vessel that is available to the Savior and the Master's service. Is God using you? And maybe you're one of those people that God's using you all the time. Every time you interact with someone, either whether people you know or don't know, God's using you. You know, God puts a verse on your heart, or God, you know, share something with you to say, this is how I want you to minister to that person, or this is how I want you to talk to that person, or this is what I want you to share with that person. Are you someone that's available to the Master's service? Paul was one of those guys that was available. And if you want God to use you in your life, you just got to make yourself available. See, it's God who dictates what he wants to do. We don't. We have to be moved by the Spirit. We need to listen to what God says. And maybe this morning, as you look and say, God did unusual miracles through the hands of Paul, that you're asking God this morning, God, use me. Do things through my hands. Do things in my life to help others. See, there's a lot of people in my life that God has given me the opportunity to encourage, that God has given me the opportunity to help walk out their faith. And that's a blessing to me. And so I make myself available to God. Not all the time. Certainly, I have other things and other responsibilities. I'm not just constantly, you know, in that place where God is using me, but I'm making myself available. And that's what we have to do. We just have to make ourselves available. See, a miracle is an extraordinary thing, no matter the miracle. But this, that God was doing through Paul, was knocked up a notch. You know, I think it was in chapter 3, where Peter and John were on their way to the temple, and there was a lame man outside the gate of the temple, and he was begging for money. And they looked at him and said, "Silver and gold we do not have, but what we do have we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." That was a miracle that was done by God through the faith of Peter and John. Do you have that kind of faith to say to someone, believe in God, put your faith in Jesus? Because people are searching out there in this world. People are searching for hope. They're searching for answers. And we, I believe, as believers, we are the ones that have the answer. We are the ones to be able to say, Jesus is your answer. I encourage you to make yourself available. Are you known as someone that God does use? Like, do people come to you when they have questions? Do people come to you when they have concerns or have to make a decision? And do they say, what do you think about this? There's many people in my life that are constantly asking me, I have a question, Pastor Rob. What do you think about this, Pastor Rob? And I want to give them a spiritual answer. Sorry about the planes overhead. But I want to give them a spiritual answer. I don't want to give them a Rob answer. I want to give them a godly, spiritual, biblical answer. And so we need to make ourselves available so that God can use us. See, Paul didn't have much involvement in these miracles. All it tells us is that it was by his hands. And to me, that just means Paul sitting there saying, God, use me. Every single day, I bet Paul woke up and said, Lord, use me in some way. Whether it's by encouraging someone in the teachings of Christ, or whether it's healing someone, or whether it's just speaking truth into someone's life. Again, Ephesus had a lot of troubled people in that town. I mean, we're talking about a lot of demon-possessed people, a lot of people that needed to be healed. And God did a lot of work there in Ephesus. And God wants to do a lot of work in your heart. And God wants to do a lot of work in your workplace, in your homes. Wherever you go, God wants to touch the lives of others. And you might think, oh, it's so hard. You might think that the place that I'm in is going to be hard for God to reach. But God can do it. God can do it. See, it wasn't anything special about Paul except for him making himself available, right? I mean, even look at verse 12. So that even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. What an amazing thing. Now, we shouldn't look at this verse and think, that's how I want to be. You know, I want God to use me in that way. This was, again, unusual and extraordinary miracles because God needed to reach that town for Jesus. And so he moved in a mighty way. And we shouldn't focus in on the miracles. We shouldn't focus in on the things that were done through Paul. We should look at the one that was doing the work. Look at God as being a God who's gracious and who's loving and wants to heal. God wants to heal you. God wants to heal people through you. And that healing might be just an emotional healing. That healing might be a mental healing, a way helping people to think properly. You don't know how God's going to use you. See, there was no power in these handkerchiefs. There was no power in these aprons. I have to remind myself that. The power was in God. The power was in the faith of God. I mean, many even think that people brought handkerchiefs and aprons and just had Paul touch them. And then their healing power was given to them. And that was God moving through those things. Inanimate objects that God used to heal and to cast out evil spirits. See, I think sometimes we look so much to the miracle that God did through Paul, instead of looking at the number of lives that were healed, the number of lives that were delivered, the number of lives that were transformed in Ephesus. That's the beautiful picture to me. And that's what we need to focus on, that God wants to reach hearts. God wants to restore relationships. He wants to heal marriages. He wants to restore relationships between parents and their children. That's what God wants to do. Because God wants our relationships to be right. And God wants our relationships to be godly. That's what he wants. See, God was able to do amazing things in the Bible. You know, I'm even reminded of the old woman who was healed by the touch of Jesus' garment. Look at this verse, Luke 8, verses 43 and 44. It says, "Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood was stopped." What amazing faith. This woman with a flow of blood of 12 years made her unclean, made her in a position where she was not allowed to touch anybody. If she touched anyone, she would make them unclean. But her faith brought her to a place that she believed, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. I mean, certainly Jesus has the power to heal anybody. But my friends, it's our faith that makes us healed. It's our faith that makes us well. It's our belief in Jesus. This old woman's faith was in Jesus, not in the power of the hem of his garment, but in the power of Jesus. And she believed if she could just touch Jesus, that she would be healed. Do you have that kind of faith? Are you known as someone who has that kind of faith? Are you known as someone that God uses because you're faithful in who God is? To me, that's enough. Be faithful, my friend. Be faithful to what God wants to do in your life, but also through your life. He may be trying to reach that coworker of yours. He may be trying to reach that neighbor you avoid. Maybe God wants to use you. Do you have enough faith for them? Be someone that God can use. This woman had faith in Jesus, and just the touch of his garment made her heal. It speaks to us that the closer we get to Jesus, the smaller our problems get. The closer we get to Jesus, the smaller our difficulties get. They might not go away. Maybe God's allowing it to stay there for a reason, for a purpose. But are you known as someone that trusts in God even when everything is going wrong? That's what God needs. That's what this world needs, is faithful followers in Christ, believing in Jesus. In Luke's gospel, look at this verse. It's in Acts chapter 5, verse 15. We talked about it before. God healed people by Peter's shadow. Acts 5:15. Acts 5:15 says, "So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them." Again, an amazing verse in the Bible, that Peter's shadow was enough to bring healing in someone's life. Peter's nobody special. He's no different than you and I. Peter said dumb things. Peter denied the Lord 3 times, but yet God worked through him. Again, when I think about the shadow of Peter, it shows me close proximity, that people needed to get near Peter to sense that healing. And no doubt in my mind that it also had a lot to do with Peter's countenance and his faith in God, that people just wanted to get near him and hear him speak and hear him talk and just be around him. Do people want to be around you because of your strong faith, because of your confidence in God? Are people drawn to you? Because if people are drawn to you, then you have a good character. If people are drawn to you, then you have something that they want. Be that person. I encourage you to be that person and to ask God every single day, God, make me be that person that can be helpful in other people's lives. Because their faith was in God, not faith in man. Faith was in God. See, I put it this way. Doctors have abilities, but God's the one that brings the healing power. Aren't you amazed that when you get a cut or a scratch, how your body's able to heal? It's just amazing. The surgeries that doctors can do on people, absolutely amazing to me. But it's the healing ability that God has given to the body that really is amazing to me. I'm thankful for doctors. I'm thankful for nurses. I'm thankful for those who have a heart to help people. And they're gifted. But God is the ultimate healer. God is one that created us in a way that we can heal. Our bodies can heal themselves under his authority. So be someone that God can use. Look at the verse 15. And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? These two words know, the first know, it says, Jesus we know, they knew him personally. They knew who Jesus was. They knew exactly who the Savior was, who the Messiah was. You know, James 2:19 says, you believe that there's one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But the know that they say, and Paul I know, they knew of Paul. They had heard of Paul. They had witnessed Paul's life. They had seen Paul doing things. They knew Paul differently than they knew Jesus. They knew Jesus personally. But they knew Paul by experience and the life that he was living. Does hell know you by name? Are there board meetings in hell talking about how they're going to try and get to you? Because the enemy wants to kill you. The enemy wants to destroy you. And we need to be able to shake the foundations of hell by exercising our faith in God. Is your faith so strong it makes the enemy tremble? Guys, it just takes faith and belief. And, you know, that verse says, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Greater is this Holy Spirit in us than Satan that's in this world. And so we should have that confidence. We should be known as people that make hell nervous. See, what I find here in verse 13, and then some of the inerrant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Took it upon themselves. That's under their power. That's under their authority. See, we can exercise the authority of heaven because of our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with God through Jesus. And to know that God wants to use us, and God will use us, and it all has to do with our faith to believe he will use us. May you be known by the enemy, and may he be bothered by you. May he be bothered by your faith, may he be bothered by your trust and your hope in Jesus, and by your confidence in the word of God and standing upon that truth. Be that person that believes well. Is your name in conversations in hell? Man, think about that for a minute. Jesus they know, Paul they know, but there's some that they don't know, that they're not bothered by it, that they're living their life, they're doing their own thing, and they're not bothered by people that aren't living for God. So are you living for the Lord? Because if you're living for the Lord, then the enemy's not happy. He's going to do everything in his power to try to stop you. So just think about that. Fighting against evil spirits is dangerous unless you have the confidence in your relationship with Christ. I don't worry about darkness. I don't worry about the Satan. I don't worry about the devil. I don't worry about the things and the tricks that he brings up because I know that God's going to give me the strength to get through those things. Because I trust in him. I put my hope in him. And that's where we need to be. Look at this verse, Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice it doesn't say, put on the whole armor of God so you may fight against the devil. Put on the armor of God so you might battle against the devil. No, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, that you may be able to stand confident in Christ against what the enemy is trying to do in your life. I'll never forget those words that Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Those are powerful words coming out of the mouth of a believer in Jesus. You can tell the enemy to get behind you. Get behind me, Satan, when it comes to your finances. Get behind me, Satan, when it comes to your relationship with your spouse. Get behind me, Satan, when it becomes the instruction that you're giving your children as you're trying to raise them up. Put Satan in his place. Put on the whole armor of God and trust in him. May you be known as someone that Satan is not happy with. And then the third thing and the last thing. Verse 17 says, this became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Are you known as one that magnifies Jesus? Are you known by one that lifts up the name of Jesus? To think about everything that you do in your life is under the protection and the direction of the Holy Spirit. That we are magnifying the name of Jesus, that we're lifting up the name of Jesus, that you're not taking credit, and you're not taking credit for the things that are happening in your life. No, you're giving credit to God, and you're magnifying the name of Jesus. When good things happen in your life, are you saying, praise Jesus, praise the Lord, thank you, God? That's what we need to be doing. The fact that it became known all over the place that these things happened. It was the talk of the town that Paul was doing amazing miracles, and then these Jewish exorcists are trying to use the name of Jesus, and the possessed man overcomes them and drives them out. It brought fear upon the city. The work of God puts fear in people's hearts to consider their path and consider their ways. So I ask, are you considering your walk with God? Are you considering what you're allowing to happen in your life? When I sit down with people who say that they know Jesus and that they pray to him, but they're not confident in Jesus, they're not confident in God's ability to do something in their life, that means there's a bit of doubt. They're not completely sure about what Jesus can do for them. As followers of Christ, we have the power of God inside of us. We have the power of the Lord available to us. God is giving you every spiritual blessing from the heavenly places. That's what the Bible tells us. So you are equipped to be used by God. You are equipped to overcome difficulties, and you are equipped to magnify the name of Jesus. Are you magnifying the name of Jesus? Do people know you? Do people around you know you as someone that's always concerned about bringing glory and honor to Jesus? Let's be known as people that our focus isn't about magnifying ourselves or making our life easier, making ourselves, you know, in a position where we don't have to worry about things anymore. No, life is going to be a struggle. Life is going to be difficult. But praise be God, it's a life that's worth living because God is in it. Magnifying the name of Jesus is not letting people focus on you. And that's what I love about this. There's no attention on Paul. There's no focus on Paul. It's not Paul building his ministry. The focus of Paul's ministry was that God was working through him. And then other people magnified the Lord. They're the ones that magnified Jesus. Notice what it allowed them to do. In verse 18, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. What conviction fell upon them when that fear came in, when they understood the power of God in Paul's heart and the error that was there if you didn't have a relationship with God. Fear came upon them. And they believed and they came confessing and telling their deeds. Confession. Being real. I'm thankful for opportunities God has given to me recently. For men in my life that are willing to say, I'm messing up. I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time with this situation. Something happened in my life today. And I want God to work. They're confessing what's going on in their lives because they know that God has the answer for them. They know that God is the answer for them. So it's our job as believers to be known as people that can help people confess and to surrender to self. That's what they were doing. Telling their deeds, telling the things that they'd done. They wanted forgiveness. They wanted forgiveness. And then verse 19, many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up all the value of them in a total of 50,000 pieces of silver. Large investment. Willing to give it up. And that's the reality when it comes to living for God. When it comes to how we're known. We're known as people that give up earthly things, that give up earthly strivings, that maybe have to pay a big price to completely surrender to God. I want you to consider this morning, if there are things in your life that God is asking you to give up, that God is asking you to surrender so that you can have a stronger relationship with Him, no matter the value. Jesus paid the ultimate price. Jesus paid it all, dying on a cross for your sin and for my sin. The least we can do is surrender the things in our lives that hinder us from staying close to Him. So how are you known? Are you known as someone that is used by God? Are you known by someone that overcomes the temptations and the trials and the things that the enemy is trying to do in your life? And are you known as someone that wants to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ and you're really, really, really willing to surrender the flesh, the things of the flesh, so that you can have a clear conscience? That's what these people were doing. They were moved by what God did. They were moved by what God did in Ephesus, and they were willing to surrender and give their lives to Christ. They knew there was greater value in a relationship for Christ. And then the last verse, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Above everything, are we known as people that love the word of God? Are we known as people that want to follow what the word of God says? Not people that look to the word or look to the word and find verses that justify our actions. That we're not molding and shaping the word of God into our lives, but we're trying to mold our life into the Word of God and to be obedient in the Word of God. Those that were healed in Ephesus started a mighty church. And what testimony they had. What a testimony they had to say, I surrendered everything in my life to follow Jesus. And I bet their testimony was, I'll never regret surrendering everything to Him. Don't ever regret surrendering everything to the Lord, because it's worth it. He repays you many times over. I'm thankful for the things that God has allowed me to surrender in my life, to give up, because He's given me so many riches. He'll do the same for you. So I ask you, how well are you known in the people around you? As people look at your life, do they look at you and say, he's a faithful follower of Jesus Christ? She's a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. That's what we should strive for. Not successful in business, although there's nothing wrong with that, but to truly be a faithful follower of Christ so that we're known by that. Again, our love for each other tells the world who we belong to. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you. Thank you for this day and thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. We pray, God, that this message would penetrate our hearts, that we would be living examples, followers of Christ, desiring to do your will and to carry out your wishes. We thank you for texts like this that we can read and be encouraged. That God, you may choose to do mighty miracles through us. But even if you don't, you've already done the greatest miracle by bringing us salvation, by giving us access to heaven, and by giving us the Holy Spirit to be with us. I pray, God, that in these days that we live, that the light that you've shown in our hearts would shine brightly for you. To you be the glory, to you be the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.